recommended accordingly, I think it is for local government to function. It's very clear, Honorable Shabalala, the point that you are raising, that we shouldn't have spheres of governance where there's a brother, a big brother and a small brother, or small sister, or whatever. Because there is a big problem, really, on that. I think has been raised. And we hope that this presentation also will be put aside and put safe. The incoming leadership, around June, July, I guess, will be back. Those who are coming back will be back. Because McClure, the term is ending. I think by 7th of May, many of us won't be here. Then those who are coming after the 7th of May, they must find us well prepared. The danger always is that I think we should have election where even the staff also got elected. Because I know that the staff always, when they are extremely silly, they will simply say that, anyway, Minister, we are right, you are coming here, but you are going to leave me here. On many occasions, ministers leave the staff there. Therefore, you may end up with the most incompetent people. They are left by several ministers because they are not doing any other work except to tell the ministers. Minister Stofile came. He left me here in 1994. In 1999, you are joining me, but I can guarantee you are going to leave me here. And then Peggy will come, you'll leave me here. In fact, you're the fourth, seventh minister I'm working with, but I can tell you, Honorable Masondo, you're going to leave me here. And then they're correct, and you leave them there. And as a result of that, we end up with a bureaucracy that is too unprofessional. Our bureaucracy in South Africa is extremely unprofessional. Very unprofessional, extremely incompetent. Because the state, and as far as I know, Comrade Peggy, is run by bureaucracy. If your bureaucracy is so unprofessional, it's a bigger problem that we are facing. Hopefully the Systems Act not addressing that, but also raise some of the issues that you must take to administration. And then how do you want to administer the affairs of the state? Because there's been a bigger problem, General Honda. And that's why we understand that big. You end up in a band of troubles or pangel. Who's all pangel? Who beg a bunch? Who hang a bunch of students who harm you? Who you boo? Pangeli there. And then we should not do it that way. We hope that the team that will going to come back, Honorable Masondo, they'll be able really to work on this amendment comprehensively. Some of your input that you are making today, please, again, you can refine them and during the course of the year, and when the colleagues come in, because I think it should be a very important issue. And then I think when our handover report, we should identify this as a matter of urgency. The bill must be amended accordingly, because as it stands, sometimes it makes it difficult for local government to move. I don't even understand why an MEC should approve processes that are fairly conducted by a local government. The minister must do that. I think, Honorable Stofile, you guys, you are working on a very tight and a very regulated environment. But I think those who are coming in will assist us. And how do we manage this correctly? Just ensure that local government functions as it tries. Otherwise, if the minister doesn't do that in 14 days, then we don't do anything. And it can't just work that way. Masondo, I know that you are mayor for 10 years in Joburg. Anyway, we have turned Soweto into a nice suburb. When I go to Soweto now, I know that it's Masondo, but I didn't see any street written Amos Masondo. I think Honorable Matsipa is going to make a proposal that one street in Johannesburg would be Amos Masondo Street. Big, I think, will support that. This thing which Muntarabong is a pila is wrong. Because Ubong is Tumbo, doesn't take us far. And no, thank you very much, colleagues. And we must start and then allow Comrade Sister Tobel to take her time and give us the input from the Western Cape. And then we'll have discussion on the input. And then we'll allow SALCA leadership also to make a presentation. And then again, we have discussion on the presentation. And surely we'll find time as members again. How do we then assist in terms of the report that is handing over to the new colleagues who are coming post election on May 7 days down the line, announcement got made, and then you know the next day, 23, whether they are coming back or not coming back. But really, those who are coming back must review many local government legislation. I think we must work out that way. Hopefully, Andy, you are still going to be there.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And when that's the permanence. No, you're going to elect them now. One way or another, we have to amend the law. They will be elected every 5 years. We elect the staff to make it easy for them to know that when the principal goes, if they perform badly, they are also joining the principal out. Because if they are permanent, only principal moves out, is a big problem. Tobel, I think that we can do. If you are permanent for 30 years, why should you worry about that MCP is coming for 5 years and leave? You must elect them. We'll amend the law and say you must elect them. At the senior level. Okay, let us take it, colleagues, and then invite the Ngwezi. I know that you are from the rural part of KZN, Mangusa. Sometimes we don't know whether in Mozambique or in South Africa. Okay. Let us allow Sister Tobela to take us through. Sister Tobela.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Thank you that you are giving us more opportunity to even submit more submissions on the Municipal Systems Act. Because, frankly, the reason why we didn't even have a presentation by yesterday, we're thinking that that particular issue must be discussed first and be able to know why must we comment or where must we submit the submissions to you. The submissions I'm having here in the presentation may not be all submission. We still have to submit more in writing because in the province we are working with municipalities to look at all the problematic provisions in the Municipal Systems Act. The first submission we are submitting is in respect of definitions, a WHIP definition. We are saying that the Structures Municipal Amendment Bill now includes the definition of the WHIP, so we are just advising for alignment there. Then Section 15, which deals with Municipal Code, and Section 53, which deals with organization of administration in a municipality. We are saying there municipalities, and normally they don't display or update their bylaws and display them in their municipal website. So you are looking for a certain bylaw in a municipality, you can't find it because it's not in the municipal website. So we are just saying that there must be an express provision for that in the amendment, which refers to Section 21B, which deals with the display of certain documents in a municipality. Then section 54, capital letter A, 2, capital letter A, and read with section 54, A, B, and section 56. That deals with municipal managers' appointments and the managers directly accountable to municipal managers. I think Gauteng has said some of the challenges which are being faced by municipalities and us as provincial departments with regard to these sections. The recruitment process, which is impliedly must take place within the period of 6 months, which is the period of acting managers directly accountable to municipal managers, as so, and also of acting municipal managers. So we are of the view that that 6 months period of acting, it's linked to the 6 months recruitment process, which means that a municipality must fill a vacant position within that 6 months period. Therefore, we are saying that that is not practicable for municipality to do that within that period of 6 months. As we are discussing even with COCTA in this regard, we even have an example of national and provincial departments who don't fill those positions within that period. So why municipalities must fill the position within that small period? The challenges which are being faced by municipalities in that regard is that they may not be able to attract people who comply with the requirements as prescribed. Or in respect of acting in that period of 6 months in the vacant position, you find municipal officials who are reporting to managers directly accountable to MMs not having those requirements. So, or even apart from not having the requirements, they are earning more than those municipal managers or more than those senior managers. So they will just refuse to act because they won't get the acting allowance. Firstly, so in this regard, municipalities will come to us and say that second someone to us to act because the staff the staff cannot act. So the period of 6 months for the person to act if they get one, and within that period of 6 months they are not able to fill that particular position, they again kind of experiencing a challenge of looking for someone to act until they fill that position. So that's why we are saying that period of 6 months must be kind of extended, whether to 9 months or 12 months. Then section 54A, which deals with MM, requires that an acting municipal manager, rightfully so, must have the same skills, expertise, competences, and qualifications of an MM. But if you look at the Systems Act, Section 52A, subsection 2, does not specifically refer to acting municipal manager to have those particular requirements. As much as that section, it refers to subsection 1, but it only says a municipal manager. It doesn't say a municipal manager and an acting municipal manager. So you find municipalities now trying to clinch on that interpretation, say that we do have someone to act and he doesn't have the same skills, expertise as the MM. And the Systems Act particularly doesn't say an acting municipal manager must have that. So just for purpose of clarity, an acting municipal manager must have the same skills. It must be clarified in the Municipal Systems Act. That is our proposed amendment. Then Section 56(1B) read with Section 56(2) that deals with managers directly accountable to MMs. I must just say upfront here there is an omission on the, I think it's the fourth sentence, which says does not require an acting. That is an acting manager there. Here, Section 56(1B) requires the manager directly accountable to the MM to have the same skills, which the MMs must have. But it's not specifically or expressly provided in that section that an acting manager directly accountable to the MM must have the same skills when that person must act in that position. Yet you find it down there in section 56, subsection 2, specifically prohibit a councillor, to appoint an acting manager directly accountable to the MM without having those particular requirements. Yet it is not provided there in Section 56(1) that particular person who's acting must have the same. But it's prohibited in Section 56(2). So we're saying that that must be specifically provided in Section 56(1)(b). It must also include an acting manager directly accountable to the MM. Then what we are also suggesting here in terms of our proposal is that if you are including that provision which says that an acting manager directly accountable to the MM must have those skills, at least the requirement of competencies must be excluded. The reasons being, you find an employee in a municipality which is reporting to the manager directly accountable to the MM. That person is under, in terms of positions, under that person, is under that manager. She or he does not have all those requirements. And now the position becomes vacant of the manager directly accountable to the MM, and that person must act. And if we are going to require that that person must have all those requirements, that means that person, if he acts, he's acting unlawfully because he doesn't have those requirements. Most of the time, the requirement which is a challenge is that of competences, because the regulations, 2014 regulations in terms of the Systems Act by COCTA National, prescribes the competences which a manager and an MM, a senior manager and MM must have. So if now we are going to have a person who's reporting to a manager acting, that person may not have those competences. And to make sure that someone have competences, that means that a municipality must go for tender for a company to assess the competences of that person. So we are saying that at least that requirement must be relaxed as far as the people who are reporting to managers directly accountable to MM when they act in those positions. So you can leave the other requirements. Then the Section 54A, 7, 8, and Section 56, 4 and 5. These one deal with the 14-day period, as the chairperson has alluded to. We've got the 14-day period where the MEC must assess the appointment of a senior manager. We've got the 14-day period where the MEC, if the appointment is in contravention of the Act, an action must be taken if that municipality doesn't want to rectify that. So we are saying that there are many reasons for not meeting these particular periods. You receive documentation from the municipality. You look at the documents. Not all the required documents are provided. Then you write back to the municipality, say that ABCD is not part of the documents you submitted. The 14 days is ticking, is going on. Then maybe for whatever reason, you are not able to go back to the municipality within that period to say that the appointment is confirmed or is not confirmed. Then, as the Gauteng said yesterday, the municipality appoints. Then you find the situation where now, if it's in contravention, the MEC say rectify, is either the rectification, that person must, the contract of employment must be cancelled, all of that. That involves a cost for the municipality, all of that. So we need to tighten up that provision by ensuring that at least a municipality, that 14-day period must only start when you've got all the requirement documents in front of you. And this is the particular question which is always asked in the province. We almost took one or two municipalities which appointed people in contravention of the Act. Then when we said that the 14-day period cannot start until we take the action, then the council says that, but the 14-day period has already started. So until it's specified in the Act that when does it start, the 14-day period, as far as the documents from the municipality have been received, all of the required documents. As I already said, that the clarification of that section must include the words that the 14-day period will only start when required documents have been submitted. And we are of the view that that period where the NEC will have to take action must at least be extended. We just provided 30 days there. And the same provision applicable to MMs are applicable to managers directly accountable to MMs. Section 50 deals with the appointment of managers directly accountable to MMs. If you look at Section 54, capital letter A, which deals with MMs, there is a sub-provision there which allows the minister to second a person to act in the position of the MM if the municipality requests the MEC to do so. But you don't find such provision as far as the Section 56 are concerned. There is no secondment provision there. We are providing a submission that provision must be submitted because municipality also normally ask the provincial department to second a person in a manager position, a manager directly accountable to the MM, for the reasons I alluded before. That is, either they don't have any person to act in the municipality, or the people who are reporting to the manager directly accountable to the MM are earning more than that position already. Then they just refuse to act. The political rights of MMs and managers directly accountable to the MM. This is the provision which was the ground for SAMU to take the National Department to court. We are just throwing the provision there for Parliament to look at when they are looking particular at that provision. We just say that an MM or a manager directly accountable to a municipal manager may hold political office, whether it's a permanent, temporal, or acting capacity. Then we are providing for a provision where that person must disclose such information to council. And also we are just providing an express provision where we are saying that that particular person must at all times act impartial when performing his or her administrative duties. Because we understand the reason why there was that such position in the first place, provision in the first place, which stopped them from holding political office. Section 57(6) is talking about the renewal of employment contracts of municipal managers. There have been challenges, or I would say problems, with regard to municipalities, especially after 2016 elections, where they decide to renew employment contracts of MMs based on this provision. It does not specifically say that the contract must be renewed, but it's in an implication. It means that the contract can be renewed. So we've had that problem in the province where most of the MMs, their contract have been renewed based on this provision. And then we find then that the municipal manager will continually become an MM even each and every time after elections. So we're proposing that section must be deleted and an express provision which prohibits the renewal of employment contracts must be provided. And also we are saying that a provision which states when must that contract of employment be signed must also be provided in the Act. We've got situations where in the contract you find a signature of an MMM before he even starts becoming the MM in terms of signing the employment contract. He signs documents in the municipality. So when you look at the employment contract, you look at what he has signed, but he has not yet started as an MM in terms of the contract. So those are the things which need to be cleaned and ironed up and put in the Systems Act. Section 58, we think this one, in a way, the staff regulations or draft staff regulations by COCTA are providing for this, but we are also putting it here to be considered for in the Systems Act. It's in regard to the appointment of persons on ground of policy decisions by political office bearers in municipalities. There is kind of inconsistency in municipalities, how many people must be in a mayoral office, how many people must be in a speaker's office, all of that. And it also goes hand in hand with the salaries of those people. So maybe if you further to this, that must also be looked at. So we are just saying that a political office bearer may appoint one or more persons under a contract in a part-time or full-time capacity. Then we are listing those three bullets, why that person may be appointed. Then Section 59 is delegations. After 2016 elections, as we know, new councils then, they just adopted the system of delegations which were there in the municipalities. Now, currently in the province, all council, they are busy reviewing their system of delegations. And in that regard, they ask us to assist them. What we have seen in the system of delegations which they are currently using, it's, I would say it's a kind of mess. You'll find provisions there where they will delegate a power to appoint a manager directly accountable to the MM. So, or even in the regulations, as Cocta will talk to that, in the regulations where you'll find a council delegating a power to appoint a committee which is responsible for selecting or appointing an MM or a manager directly accountable to the MM, that delegation is given maybe to the mayor. In other municipalities, we even delegate it to the MM, depending on what position is being filled. So, and we always advise them that they cannot delegate that power. That is a council's power. So we just list the powers which must not be delegated, which must only be performed by the council. I know that yesterday there was a suggestion of the EXCO, maybe appointing an acting MM or acting manager directly accountable to the MM. But this one is mainly about the actual appointments, not just acting, of those particular people, which municipality tend to delegate. It's either to the mayor or to the MM, depending on what position is being filled. And also other powers we've listed, that is not the only one we've listed, some powers, because we find all of these in their system of delegations, which we are reviewing at the moment with them. Then, when we assess the appointments of senior managers in municipalities, there's one thing which we always find in the employment contracts they submit. You'll find that they will have a provision there in that contract which says that the salary or the remuneration package of a particular person is in line with the bargaining council agreement. Yet the remuneration packages of senior managers are determined by Minister National. So we're saying that there must be an express provision which prohibits that. Because other contracts, they even say that if the determination of COCTA National is unfavorable, they will go for the bargaining council. So we just need an express provision to prohibit that in the Systems Act. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tovela, for the presentation. It's very helpful for us. Members, you want to pose some questions for clarification? Honorable Masondo. I think Honorable Dube has lost someone. And the danger in Parliament that you can be in Parliament and leave Parliament before even knowing any corner. 20 days to go and Dube doesn't know where is M5415. Maclua, you know when was escorted. Okay. Honourable Masson, do you want to pose some questions for clarity?
I may not, Chairperson, understand the issues that well, given the fact that Ghana has been out of circulation, so to say. But when the word political is mentioned, one cannot really help but think of practical problems that have arisen over time on the appointment of political people and why there was this attempt to separate political from the independent functioning of municipal structures. I just hope that this thing that I'm about to raise is not actually the case. One of the problems that has really led to the miring or the effect of being negatively affected by developments at the municipal level has been the appointment of senior political people in managerial positions at a municipality. So the person is senior in the political party and becomes a city manager at the municipal level. And then begin to dictate terms on how the municipality must work. And this has led to huge problems of corruption in municipalities. Just to give an example, the person is a chair person of a region. And then becomes a city manager, serving under a mayor who is part of the REC, Regional Executive Committee, or even Junis. So that person dictates terms. And that has led to lots of problems. There's a particular municipality where that really became a case study for many of us at a place called the Kangala Municipality in Mpumalanga. That municipality was in shambles and in trouble for a long, long time because terms were being dictated to it. A decision would be taken by the council, by the manager, sorry, by the mayor, on how things should be proceeded with. And this powerful individual, who is a city manager, will then convene a meeting as the chairperson of the REC to reverse all decisions of the municipality. So I hope that this the way this matter is dealt with here really assists us to avoid this kind of problem. Because if it doesn't, we're trying to utilize the law now to entrench this untenable practice.
Honourable McClure.
Yes.
Honourable Shawala, I will follow. And
thank you, Chair. Actually, Honourable Masonde just ignited me to say something, and you know, government's attempts to professionalize local government, I think that is important. We all strive for that.
And I am a little bit concerned listening to some of the proposals. If one would want to professionalize local government, why would you extend a 6 month period to a 9 or 12 months? We know history has it that in the past it is difficult and it was an endless fight to have people permanently appointed as soon as possible. So I think we also speak against ourselves as government or public reps to professionalize and having that kind of extension. Also to the relaxation of requirements. We are looking for competent people, and to relax a requirement is also a sound effort to open the door for decisions, incompetent decisions. If we have someone that is competent, have the necessary requirements, you will have the right replacement. So there are also structures in place within government where current incumbents must ensure that they fulfill to that requirements instead of having a empty line within the act stating to relax when it comes to competent. The 14 days, I would want to agree with the 14 days and also yesterday's presentation. But one must remind ourselves, if there's an appointment, you know, us as public reps, if we have to send something to the IEC and it's wrong, you are disqualified. Now we have a situation of a presentation that says, we receive it today, the day after tomorrow, this is still short, that is still short. So now everything is submitted, now the 14 days start now. Again, I would want to address the issue on the professionalism. Then I want to come to Honorable Masondo's issue. And 2011, we all sit around a table, we all went to Parliament, and we passed legislation of this nature. And the current legislation, we accept it in the spirit it has been accepted without the notion on page 11, notion of having political line managers. And I had the same experience. You sit in a province, you summons people as SCOPA, the municipal manager does not come, the mayor is there, does not know where the municipal manager is, he is at a rally of a certain political party. So it was difficult to have a MM who is a senior politically to the mayor. So the concern is, why should we here, you know, pander to municipal unions and all of this? We want to professionalize local government. Bottom line, and I think that is important, and we don't have to make it complicated. We all do have our views as far as that is concerned, but I must say I have experience in my involvement elsewhere and in a number of municipalities of what Honorable Masondo has said. The political line of management within an organization is the only best way, if you want not to have a success in local government, to have such structures where there is a serious competition in seniority on political lines. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the presentation. I think I also want, let me first agree with Ubabu Masondo. I think on the issue of the extension of 6 months to 9 or 12 months, the challenge is it has been that people will relax and not do their job. And because they say 9 months you or 12 months, they will definitely be dealing with one post. That is not going to make the local government function better, but instead it will really compromise in terms of the work that it's supposed to do, which is the service delivery to the people. So the 6 months, to me, I think it's enough. The 3 months for advertisement and the 3 months to finalize the post, why should we wait for 9 months to fill that vacancy? And it's worse if then the minister, I mean the MEC, will won't be able to finalize, because the municipality would have finished the issue of advertising and interviewing the candidates. For the minister to confirm that candidate, it should not take such a long time for the MEC, I mean, to confirm. So to me, 6 months is still relevant. Maybe what it can be put there is to say that it should not exceed 9 months. It should not. It must be done within 6 months, and it should not exceed. Then it need to be looked at in those lines. In terms of the alignment, I think it is correct that we need to align the two document, which is the Municipal Structures Act and also the Systems Act, so that this document can talk to one another. On the issue of the municipality, I mean of the MM, for employing the staff that is going to be reporting to the municipal manager, I don't think that is a wrong for the municipal manager to appoint the staff that is going to be reporting to him, because it doesn't do that alone. It do that with the municipality. I mean, maybe the executive committee, if the executive committee in that municipality is there. And also the issue of the political office. It is correct to say that it should not, you should not be holding a political office and then you become the municipal manager. You can't account to yourself, because it means there is nobody else that you report to. You only report to you, and nobody can question the things that you are doing wrong. The reason for the political office to be there is for the issue of accountability, and the people will be able to make sure that they do the right things. And also the issue of micromanagement. You know, in local government, this issue of micromanagement, you can't take the decision based on what you are thinking on that particular time when the matter is in front of you. So you can't really use your mind. Someone else somewhere must tell you that this you can't take this decision, but you must take this decision. I think that's where the issues of corruption and all those things comes in. So it's better if the municipality has a right to decide and not being influenced or being dictated to by somebody else who is not really there. It's worse when we're going to say that no, the chairperson of a region must also become the city manager. What do we expect? He will definitely do as Obama Masondo has been saying, not because we don't trust people, but I think we need to protect them as well.
I'm sorry. I'm a husband
now. Oh, my God. No, I'm really sorry. Yeah, maybe the chairperson of my branch trying to instruct me.
Yeah,
what is... No, I should have put them on. I'm sure we are. So to me, I think the extension of 30 days, 14 days to a period of 30 days, I don't have really have a problem with that. But we should not just increase a time just because we want to be flexible, and so we need to be strict and have time frames that can be met. That will definitely make us be able to do our work. Thanks, Chen.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Honorable.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Honorable members, ladies and gentlemen, the first comment is that, or is stimulated by what Honorable Masondo said. He made an example of the issue of Gangala. In fact, when I was doing CPMD, a gentleman who was treasurer of the ANC region somewhere actually quoted the story he's sharing with us today. But you know, I think it will be best if political parties themselves, you know, prohibits their leaderships of regions to serve as maybe senior managers at corresponding municipalities. That is what we have done as the IFP, in fact. You can't be you can't be leading in the region or a sub-region and also serve as a, as an official or a councillor in that corresponding municipality. It doesn't happen because we understand issues of accountability. So while we are looking at it, administratively or as government, but political parties themselves must do something. We don't have problems because we know that this one accounts to this one, that one accounts to that one. So it doesn't, in our constitution it is there. So I'm just, you know, like saying, maybe you can look at that in the future, not trying to be like the IFP, of course. But Chair, I don't know whether legally, with the issue of the period that Umdlandle is proposing, it's your 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, or 12 months. I don't know. When I was still a councillor, a chairperson, the municipal manager will tell us that no services that are rendered by Company A are ending in 3 months' time, and to appoint a service provider, all your advertisement, all the processes is done normally within 90 days. So because we know it's ending in 3 months, let us start the recruitment process of the new service provider or the same service provider before the term ends, before the 3 months ends, because we know that it is going to end in any way. What prevents us, you know, to say that any contract of a senior manager or manager, if it is ending in it's March, April, May, if it's ending in May, we don't wait for May, we don't wait for the contract to end, then we start the recruitment process. Why don't we say the recruitment process may begin or must begin 3 months before the end of the contract? Because that will give us an opportunity, and actually not even to have people who are acting and all that. It will minimize, not that it will never happen at all, but it will minimize people acting, you know. So I'm just, you know, trying to say legally, you know, you should assist us, because it happens with the, you know, tendering system, for example. It does happen in municipalities. And I think it can happen also in positions of this nature. I'm just throwing it. But also trying to argue that, you know, more than 6 months really is a very long period. I wonder what will, you know, council and, you know, officials doing in that municipality if they fail to appoint at least within 6 months. I've always argued even for a tender that takes more than 90 days to say all your procurement services, everybody, everyone is here, your tender committees are here. What are you doing for 30 days? What are you doing for the next 30 days until 90 days? So it means you are doing nothing. You are not working, because everybody you need is here. For 90 days you failed to do. So I really think also, you know, that period is very long, but
maybe 6 months, because we know there might be objections, political interest, like Masonde have said, and so on. But also, Chair, one last thing is where there is a presentation about a person acting, that it should have the same expertise, competence, and all that, with that of the MM. Why are we... I would rather suggest that we don't specifically talk about the municipal manager, because it seems like we are talking about the municipal manager because we have a thinking that all the other senior managers are permanent, when in fact in local government some are also in contracts. So my suggestion, if it allows, will be that we begin to think about all those that are in contracts, like your directors, for example, because they also have 5-year contracts in most of the cases, that anybody who is supposed to act in the senior or as a director or whatever, then must possess the same, like that of the MM, because they also write the competency assessments as well, the directors. For example, in municipalities that are too rural, I don't know about, I don't know much about Western Cape and Gauteng. There are a lot of metros, maybe directors are permanent. But for all the contract ones, we insert the same thing with that of the MM, which I agree, Ms. Tobel. I agree with you on this one. But I'm just, thinking that we need to accommodate even directors, those that are also in contract, to say if someone is supposed to act, should also possess the same. Because the requirements are gazetted, as far as I know. So it can't only be the municipal manager only. So all those that are gazetted must look like this one of the MM. Thank you.
President, thank you very much. I thought maybe let me hold my comment because I will make some presentation. But let me raise a little bit uncomfortable question, because it's important when you deal with legal matters to connect with politics, because legislature is more about managing politics and legal. It's not about ticking the box and say this is right and that is wrong and so on. Don't you consider you putting days, 20, 14, 30, 90 days, it's also contributing to the efficiencies? Have we come to mind with that? It also contributed to efficiencies, because it's a deficiency to perform the task that you are expected to perform, and you perform it on the last day of your cycle. So it means there is no focus planning. Is that what we want to see? As Salga, we are talking about professionalization of the sector. And part of professionalization of the sector is to be focused planning and determine what you need to do. Okay, that's one issue, Chair, President. The second issue is this one. My experience with the local government on 9 provinces, at least municipalities, they do invite COGTA to sit in the panel. Now, why should wait in that process? I'm talking about deficiencies, in the gaps in the system. Why it should be a matter of 14 days or 30 days, this is not right, this is wrong, but a person was sitting in the meeting? This is the same argument that we have in the parliament, that you are saying municipalities are defunct, but you are receiving Section 72 reports, Section 74 reports. And it means in the process there is somebody who is not doing his work. And unfortunately in the process somebody will be blamed, and that somebody happened to be the local government. So I'm saying as we amend and look into this, let's also look into the detailed politics of what is happening in local government. Because remember, if you read the Constitution, Section 154 of the Constitution requires, in fact it dictates that the provincial and national government must support local government. Okay. So I'm saying, within those extremes, the law, it must not be in contradiction with the supreme law of the land. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me start with what Honorable Ngwezi was saying about the skills that the acting manager should match with the municipal manager. He was talking about directors. I think when the municipality employs or appoints directors, they look for specific qualification for that director, because not all directors do the same thing. There's a director for corporate services, there's a director for finance, there's a director for whatever categories they will be having in that municipality. So if we are saying they must possess the same qualification or same skills with the municipal manager, are we saying if there's no municipal manager in that municipality in that period, then the council cannot appoint the acting municipal manager within the people who are employed in that municipality? Are we saying then the council must look outside for a person who has the same skills with the municipal manager? I think we must look into that one again. And in terms of the political officials being appointed as officials in the municipality, even if we can say, yes, there are some interferences if that person is being appointed, but legally, are we right? Are we not discriminating? Is it not exclusion of political officers to hold office in the municipality? Are we not going to have the same challenge by the SAMU to challenge this bill? What I think is, maybe we need to have something that prohibits the political officers to interfere with the duties with duties of the council, but not prohibiting them from taking office in any of the municipalities. Even though ISP is trying to say you cannot be a political official and become a councillor in the same municipality, really, I don't know whether we are going to get it right if we do it like that. But then my question would be on page 12. Mem Tobela was saying the municipal manager's employment contract must not be renewed. Maybe I don't understand it here. Are we saying they must just serve one term? Or what is it that we are trying to say here? Let me just understand about when you say we must delete Section 57(6)(c) and insert a new provision that prohibits renewal of employment contracts of municipal managers. Can I just get clarity on that one?
Thank you, Chairperson. Maybe I must start with the renewal of employment contract. Normally, the municipal manager, the period tallies with that of the council itself, and there must be 1 year after that municipal council's period. So what happens is that council, before they leave office, they tend to renew the employment contract of the MM based on this provision, which does not expressly provide for that, but by implication one may say it provides, because if you read 56(6)(c), it says that stipulate the terms of the renewal, blah blah blah. So now
what we are saying is that now that council which is leaving is appointing an MM for the new council which is going to come in. That creates problems. So because it's renewing the current employment of this particular MM for that new council. So that new council comes in, it has already has an MM. So the reason behind having the period of the MM tallied to the period of the council was specifically for that period must end. So because of that, there are different interpretations there, which means some means that the contract may be renewed, some means that it's ended, the position must be advertised as in the regulations. So we are saying that to take away that confusion, that paragraph C must be deleted at all. It must not be there. That means that the new council must appoint its MM by itself. That's what we are saying here.
Just maybe a follow-up on this one, Chairperson. If we are going to insert this new proposed amendment, if the term of office of the council ends in March and the new council starts in April, so within that month, April and the other months before the new council can appoint the municipal manager, what's happening? Is there a vacancy of the municipal manager? And again, if we say it's going to prohibit renewal without specifying that the old council cannot or should not renew the appointment of the MM for another 5 years, but give maybe a period of saying it can renew, and not renew the contract, but appoint the municipal manager on acting position until the new council appoints its new MM. I'm not sure whether I'm understood there, because I'm afraid if we are going to say prohibit, it means even the new council, that MM, if he applies his appointment, can he be appointed again or what?
Thank you, Chair. I think Yavumelana one next to me, because you can't say that when a new council is established after elections, you have to employ new staff. It means there is no consistency, there is no, you are dismantling the municipality to say that you don't have to renew the municipal manager's contract. He is the engine of making sure that the processes of running the municipalities are there, are in place. And if you create that vacuum to say that because our term of office is ending on March 20 in this parliament, therefore the staff that is employed in this parliament under contract, they must all vacate with us when we leave. There is a problem there that we definitely going to encounter. So I don't think we have to take that thing out for the allowing of the renewal of a contract. The contract need to be renewed. If the council that comes in, they are not happy with that. This is like you have your budget and you are saying that because your term of office is ending next week, therefore you cannot have the next financial year budget. So everything is coming to stand still because the staff is gone, the municipal manager is gone. Everybody is gone. I don't know really what will happen then if we can allow that situation to be like that. Then.
Hey, in this regard is that we shouldn't be saying don't renew.
But I tend to agree with the assertion that let's align the period of the municipal manager with that of council, so that if there is history, a bad history, to the city municipal manager when a new council comes in, then it's also an enabler to the new council to say, okay, there's history to this one, then let's appoint. That's how I feel about the matter.
I was a councillor.
Oh, okay.
Not a manager. I don't like to be an official. Okay, Chair, I think we somewhere we are beginning to challenge our own discussion as members, not actually what was presented by the presenter. You know, Chair, I want to say that it is impossible to align the term of office of the senior managers. I don't want to talk about the MM only, but let me say senior managers. Their term of office with that of the council. It is impossible. Because we are saying if the term of office of the municipal council ends on 8 May, on 8 May, there are no managers and service delivery will be disturbed after few days from the 8th of May because there will be no senior management. Or rather, no influential staff, if I may put it like that. So I think what I've seen in other municipal managers, Honorable Stofil, is that they normally give the contracts up to 6 months or 12 years of the senior managers away from that of the appointment of the new council, which I think is actually covering the issue of the 6 months. We are debating to say let's move from 3 months to 6 months because that new council will have tried to operate for a few months and then see if they can actually appoint the new municipal manager or because this one of renewal, I see the confusion where it comes from. It's like you need to renew the contract of the existing MM. So I think the appointment one fits well with me because it will mean when you appoint, you follow all the procedures. And I know that in one of our municipalities in KZN, we committed the same mistake with the confusion that the presenter is mentioning. In Moto, for example, posts were never advertised because they quoted the existing MM then quoted the same renewal that you may renew, you know. And then there was that confusion, then they were renewed. The MEC said something else and so on, you know, until today. So I wanted to make those two contributions that it's like we want to turn what the presenter said and then try to engage our own understanding, you know. I was actually making a contribution, not that I was saying that must be done because it that is meant for only our members, that they can't serve as councillors and also as party officials at corresponding municipalities because there will be no oversight. So we want people to account both politically and administratively. So that is our own habit, which I think is working for us. It may not work for other political parties, but it's working for us and we don't have problems. Thanks.
President, I'm coming from a theory that says law is informed by precedence and practice in capping the practice that is happening, and I'm coming from that theory. And I think the suggestion made by my learned sister here, it says what is currently is becoming a practice in the sector. That's what I think is the gist of the presentation, renewal, not renew. That is the gist of the matter. What is currently as a practice in the sector is that, like, fortunately, after May, I will be joining that side. You'll be all gone. And I think my NGO is sending me on that side of the table. So what is my learning sister is saying is that what is currently happening, if the term comes to an end on the 8th of May, what we generally do is that we extend the contract of a municipal manager in January. I'm just making a practical example. Now, what does that mean legally? It means the incoming council is already having employed a manager, which it defeats the purpose that the council, it must then plan, put the staff together in looking forward in implementing its program. I think that is the gist of the matter that is said. But to us as association, we will engage, we had you yesterday, you said, general debate about amendments, what it need to be corrected. We will enter that space when we get at that point. Our understanding today, it was on the basis of the Constitutional Court judgment and so on.
Thank you, Chairperson and honorable members. I think maybe I'm tempted to explain some of the things to honorable members so that when they engage with the presentations from provinces and from Southern, they then, you know, appreciate what is the present situation, the circumstance at present, in relation to the proposals made by provinces and Saga, so that we need to appreciate where they come from in relation to the proposed amendments. Firstly, COCTA has got all the proposals made by that are going to be made by all the provinces, including Saga. I informed the honorable members yesterday that we've got a task team headed by COCTA, wherein we have taken all the proposals into one, and we are busy working on them now in relation to going to the substantive amendments of the system section. But I want to touch on just two, three issues. Maybe if that can be clarified, that will ease the confusion that we might have in relation to the presentations that have been made. Let's start firstly with the appointment of senior managers. We have, as matter stands, now you need to understand that vis-a-vis the proposed amendments so that you appreciate whether your discussion for anti what they are proposing is really relevant under the circumstances. The Act says, the Municipal Systems Act says that a contract of employment of a municipal manager will be for a period of 5 years and not more than 1 year exceeding the lifespan of the sitting council. That in itself puts you in a very clear mind that it says it is for the period of 5 years and not exceeding 1 year. Then you may have a contract of a municipal manager, but it might not be exceeding 1 year after the council has gone out. So when the council goes out, there's a year that the council will be having with that particular manager, so there is that continuity. That's what the Act says now. And the Act further says, when it talks to renewals, it says a renewal of a contract of a municipal manager can only be made when it is clearly stipulated in the employment contract of a municipal manager, and it is by mutual agreement between the employer and the employee that the contract will be extended. Meaning that once a council and the MM signs an employment contract, in that employment contract, council at that time may, for being proactive, look at whether they want to include a renewal clause in the contract. In instances where there is no renewal clause, then that contract will not be renewed because there was no renewal clause in the employment contract between council and that municipal manager. So it is not given that per se contracts of a senior manager of a municipal must be renewed. It can only be renewed when there is a renewal clause in the contract of employment between the council and the employee. So clarity had to be sought in that situation, in that the proposal in relation to the renewal of the contract, like the presenter has indicated, it has in some instances created some problems. And let me give you the problem. The problem is as follows. At the time when the person entered into a contract with the MM entered into a contract with the municipality, the person was earning 1.2 million. That was now 4 or 5 years at the time. Now, when they renew the contract, the minister has determined salaries of senior managers, and that includes MMs. And the minister said, according to my determination, this person must earn 1.1 million. But at the time when he enters in a contract, it was 1.2. Now the contract, the problem here comes with the dead face as SALGA and the provinces. It's when that person says, no, I am going to renew my contract with that municipality because I've got the renewal clause in my contract, but I want to retain my salary of 1.6 million and not the one that has been determined by the minister for that particular period. So that's what created the problem. That is why provinces are saying, in order for us not to have this problem again, let us not even have a renewal clause, so that all vacancies become, all positions become vacant upon the expiry of the contract, and council will then appoint after the recruitment and selection process and follow the determination of the minister for that particular year. So that was the problem. We have discussed it at length with provinces, and we have agreed that because it creates a particular problem, we might not necessarily have that renewable clause, but that will be catered for by what I've already said, that the employment contract of a municipal manager is for a period of 5 years and not exceeding 1 year after the expiry of the lifespan of that particular council for purposes of consistency. That's number one, just for clarity, so that members will then have an appreciation of why, where provinces are coming from when they propose certain deletion of one. The issue that Honorable Ngwesi has raised, as matter stands, in 2011, prior to 2011, in relation to the contract employment of managers accountable to senior managers, in that original clause, it was that the employment contract of managers accountable to municipal managers will be also be for a period of 5 years. That is a contractual period. At the time when we came to Parliament in 2011, together with SALGA and provinces, we agreed that that is a problem because of institutional recapping of institutional memory in the system. We are proposing that those directors or managers accountable to senior must be appointed on a permanent basis, so that there should be institutional memory in that. The advice that we got from our legal advice was that we should just delete that section that talked about the contractual period of managers accountable to senior managers. So when you look at the Act as it is now, that particular 557.7 was deleted from that section with the intention that section 56 managers or managers accountable to municipal managers will then be appointed on a permanent basis because that clause is deleted. Provinces have now come and said, we need to, when we propose this amendment, we need to talk about how we are going to expressly indicate in the Act that managers accountable to senior managers are going to be appointed on a permanent basis. So that is the issue. The issue is here is that the Act, the way it is at the moment, deleted that section, and the interpretation was supposed to be that they will be appointed on a permanent basis. Only to find out that people interpreted that differently. That is why there is no uniformity. Some municipalities appoint them on a permanent basis, some appoint them on a contract basis, and that's where the confusion is. Then we need to clarify that when we amend the section. The other last issue that I want to do is in relation to the time frames of the appointment of the recruitment and selection process. I don't know how to put this. I need to be careful how I put it for purposes of me going up in my career. But the issue is, when we say within the recruitment,
I'm a civil servant, I never be worried about a career. Because your career is guaranteed. No one must be worried about a career because it's based on the vote.
Chairperson will be amazed how these things turn out when it comes to.
And I will deal with you.
Yes, that's my boss. the issue is, Chairperson, just not to belabor the matter. The issue is, when the selection process of senior managers in the regulations is set up for a period of 6 months, 9 months, that is the advertisement, everything, shortlisting and all that, we were mindful of the fact that, like Honorable Shawang has indicated in relation to these time frames, that it should be shortened. We have even went to municipalities to workshop them on the shortening of the process so that we fast track this, because there was this exodus of senior managers upon the local government elections, and we needed to assist them to shorten that. There is another process outside of the legal process that is taking place that prolongs the appointment of senior managers. Municipalities go, advertise, panel interviews, and they recommend. But there is another process that I won't mention that is taking place outside the legal process that prolongs that. Only to find out that time is off, and then you then have to cancel, councils have to go and re-advertise, and they do that. How we are going to do that in the amendment, I don't know. But that is the challenge that municipalities are having. And provinces have raised this issue also.
I just want to say something on a very lighter note. I like the explanation of the 1.2 million, and then there's an announcement, and it's now 1.1. Now, on a lighter note, if you come into this room, it said no smoking, no eating, no drinking. Now it looks like it was the previous government. With a new government, they said, no, where we come from in our boardrooms, we were smoking, we were eating.
It's not a bad idea. Otherwise, you'll kill us here if we don't eat. Smoking, yes. Tobela.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think what I can just like to clarify the issue of competencies which are raised by the honorable member there. We are not saying that a person who is acting as an MM must not have that. We are concerned about junior officials reporting to a manager directly accountable to the MM. Currently, if that position is vacant, municipalities will appoint a person who's reporting to that manager, to act. And that person does not have those requirements because he is not a senior manager. And specifically, the requirement which has always become a problem is the competency one, because there are competency assessment requirements as per regulations for senior managers in municipalities. So that person is acting in that particular position doesn't have that competency. And in terms of the Act currently, if that person acts for more than 3 months, it must come to us. And then when it comes to us, we assess and look and see whether that person qualifies or may meet the requirements in terms of the Systems Act. And most of the time, they don't meet them. And specifically, the competency requirement is not met. That's why we're saying that at least that one, as far as employees reporting to managers, directly accountable to MM, that competency requirement maybe must be deleted. That's to accommodate that.
I want us to move to SARCA.
Just one comment, Mr. President. Now, I think the lawmaking process must also answer the question, what are the things that impede the delivery of services and undermine professionalizing the service? This whole idea of saying let's leave this to the when managers are making proposals, let's leave this to the political people, may not serve the purpose. Because if there are things that are a problem, those issues should be put to the fore And then we must say, this is a proposed approach towards solving the problem. Because sometimes what happens is that civil servants in government start with a point that says, this issue may have political implications. So, ask her it's what. Let's just leave it as is. And the problem recurs into the future. So I'm not saying that we just discuss that now. But it's very important to confront issues that are a problem.
That's fine, Bram. And I think we must address this, and I think the Systems Act we must really try our level best. I think we do have experience now, SALCA had a lot of experience, and to make a very intelligent contribution at the local government level throughout the country. How do we make it work? How do we make it work? And I take the point, Brian. Administration is very easy to say, that is a political question. And the political leadership doesn't even know what is this political question all about. And then the whole issue then is taken up. But I think explanation by Mutla Shuping was also very helpful. And then on some of the areas that we must face, because I do think that we must blame administration where lawmakers. Don't forget that it's not the administration that make law. They facilitate the lawmaking process. It is the political leadership exercising their stewardship that make laws. If the laws are bad, it's not administration, the political leadership that then mess up things for whatever reason. We should reach a stage, really, Mr. Shuping, even when president is not operation for 3 months, the state works. The state works. And then it's a professionalism that we need. And then I guess in our situation, if Masonda is not there for 6 months in the council collapses. Because we have not professionalized our people. On that. You can't run a state like that anyway. Of course, I think Honorable Buhari has won, and I think we should move on. We should move on and invite the SALCA colleagues. But all these points are important when we deal with comprehensive amendment of the bill. I think, as we are saying, that today's, I think even after election, Musa Shupi, whoever comes in again in this portfolio committee will come and take them through what are the input that had been made, what has been discussed, because it's important for members to be inducted on some of the issues in order for them then to know what are the issues that are important on that. And because they must assist you to resolve the problem. And I think we should do that, and then hopefully you'll be still around. Administration must not be disturbed. Because if you disturb administration, the whole thing can collapse. Members of parliament are here today, tomorrow can withdraw you and redeploy you somewhere. Don't even need your permission. Just redeploy you, go. McClure was in Northwest. The party decided to redeploy him here. Was redeployed to Northwest, is here now. They need no permission. The parties don't need permission. But the administration, the procedure and process that have to be followed. That's why it must be professional to assist us to work. They mustn't say again that I was with Richard Maloy, I was with Sicelo, I was with Uzal Van Royen, I'm with Willie Shisa for a few weeks. Now I'm with Ms. William Kese. All of you are going to leave me here. And then it's proven correct anyway. Van Rooyen is gone, Baloy is gone, Leshisa is gone, Strelo is gone. Zwelin maybe is gone. Mm-hmm. Shashupi, Sekho. the power of administration. If administration is not professional, and I think also Sherin has been with Leshista, who has Sangetwa, who has, and then was Leshisa, Sangetwa, Omuyumut, and then Nabo, Bamtolela, Bamshiala. That's the problem of that. Once administration is not professional, it's a big problem to any country anyway. It's the biggest problem. It doesn't matter to change in that demotrip. ETA can change him tomorrow. The sky won't fall. But if you change Musa Shuping, can take another 2 years, 3 years to have a person of his caliber working on that. And that's a bigger problem, that the administration must be protected and also must be professional. And not be lazy. Sometimes they're very lazy. Very lazy. There's no reason why a rich country like South Africa, we have problems. There's no reason, really. There are no problem in Nigeria. Buhari, is, I think, is one. No problem in Nigeria. No, we should take colleagues of the SALCA, take us through, colleagues, and there's a presentation here. I think it's circulated to all members.
Thank you very much, President. Maybe the debate, it should be, what is the role of the state and what is the role of government? And how do they intertwined work together in addressing the socio-economic challenges that the society is facing? President, we have an award as SALCA.
Oh.
Amos Masondo Award.
And this award
is to recognize individuals that has been outstanding in rendering service to our communities. Because Masondo, he has contributed outstandingly during the debate of transition in the local state, and to find and create a wall-to-wall local government. And of course, contribute towards creating a stature of three spheres of government, which currently we are a little bit worried because we seemingly seeing parliament and everybody using the ordinances of 1970. Ordinances of 1970, if you read them, give no powers into local government. Local government, the minister or government at upper levels, give authority and delegate to local government what to be done, when to be done, and how to be done. And you can see it in other countries. Whereas in South Africa, you've got a constitutional democracy in which it recognizes three spheres of government. I mean, you can see it in the yesterday debate and many other debates before that. Our understanding, Chair, is that which we are going to reflect a little bit on it, is that local government in terms of the constitution is created as a center of focus, a government that it must govern the local affairs, and take decisions and programs that it seeks to change the conditions of communities on the ground. And the constitution, it also says the provincial and national government had to assist the local government to perform its duty, not the duty of the province, no, of the national. Now, if you take it practically in the business environment, and many of my friends and colleagues, they will have better relations with business. An individual establish a business, appoint a board, and having appointed a board, it is an expectation of the board to perform the duties of the business, so that the business and the shareholders must receive returns on investment, which they call it ROEs. And in this case, you establish local government, which local government has to manage its affairs. But you said, if you want to employ a municipal manager, you must concur. I was asking with legal people, what is concurrency? Where is in law? And I haven't seen it.
I'm still expecting something called concurrency law. I haven't seen it. And of course, we are grappling with these issues because, as I've said, law and politics are twin brothers. And most often, people, they misinterpreted these processes because they understood law better than politics. And they don't understand the law. It must enable the politics to perform its duty in transforming the society. So, Chair and the President, we believe and welcome as SALGA your earlier comment after Gauteng presentation that you will be facilitating, even though maybe I will be sitting on the other side. Just jokingly, not really. In the sector, I'm still okay. We appreciate the fact that you said there should be a debate and discussions about the Municipal Systems Act, the Municipal Structures Act. And remember, President, the law, it had to manage a particular behavior. And behavior is not static. It changes over a period of time. And therefore, you have to change with times and adapt and implement what you believe you have learned out of the processes. And we welcome, in fact, really, that debate as a local government sector, because it's going to contribute in shaping a better local government, because in our view as SALGA, we need to create a professionalized local government, which there will be very, if there are any, interferences, both politically or any other form of interference that taking place in local government. So today, we are going to strictly look into what made us to be here. What made us to be here is as a result of the Constitutional Court judgment and our plea and belief, our interaction with COCTA, of course, is that we understand that this lifespan of the judgment is coming to an end next week. Now we believe seated here will have some information saying a process has been started to approach the court and request the court to be considerate of the fact that we have started some work, but there are some challenges in starting this work and therefore it cannot be completed. And we are forcing a situation whereby you will be going home. I don't know, it's called a retrenchment, but in the private sector is referred to as retrenchment as you go home. And we believe that the President won't be able to sign the law, that amendment into law. And therefore it requires a magnitude of work to be performed insofar as looking at that. And as SALGA was saying, that magnitude of work, it gives opportunity to look the Systems Act on its entirety and try to interpret the Systems Act, because our interpretation as local government association, we link it, and it should be linked with the supreme law of the land. What is the land, what is the law of the land provides, and what is guiding, and what is expecting us to do, and any law, it should not be in contravention of such. So we welcome that. And let me, Chair, without wasting your time, ask Lance to walk us through, and I give you a bet that is not a long presentation because we attempted to deal with the question at hand. Other politics and other matters will deal with them at an appropriate time. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair, but I thought I should start on a light note informed by your earlier comments and tell you about a friend of mine who played for some team, Chair. For some team. They talk a lot that team, but he plays for that team. His name is Lucky Lekhwati. I am told that he told all of the coaches of that team exactly what you are saying, Chair. You will find me here. You will leave me here. And it's true, Chair. He has left. Many coaches have left him at that team. But I'm now told he's gone further, Chair. He has retired. He's now telling not only the coaches, he's also telling the players that you will find me here, and you will leave me here. So we must be careful about the lucky lehwatis of this this world, Chair. The presentation, as the as Councillor Stoff has indicated, is fairly short, Chair. However, it is a bit loaded, and it's loaded because it is exceptional that we come to a portfolio committee and we deal with a bill that is in fact an act. Because as we speak, we are dealing with a bill, technically speaking, but it's being implemented as we speak. So we are sitting here with the benefit of hindsight, and we are saying, well, if we were back in 2010, when this bill was first before this very same portfolio committee, some of us may not have been there, I was there, there was a certain context that informed that bill and the thinking at the time. But we also now have the benefit of experience. Should we not use the benefit of experience to try and, where possible, not expensively, not in detail, but where it's possible, tweak, so that we do not wake up after the promulgation of this bill into an act with the same problems at the local government level? Because ultimately it is important that we need to address the challenges that we have at the local government level. And it's unfortunate that at times we must use law to address challenges, when in fact, Chair, you would see when I go to the detail, it is not the law that is the problem. It is the human element, it's the individuals, it is those that are supposed to implement it that creates challenges in the system. And I'm sure when we sat here now nearly 10 years ago looking at the then Municipal Systems Amendment Bill, we did not foresee the problems that we currently have in the sector. Instead, we thought we were going to present solutions. So when we look at our presentation, we do remind members of the committee that there was a problem statement that informed the then Systems Act. And unfortunately, that problem statement remains relevant. And we are saying the now 10-year-old COCTA State of the Local Government report spoke about extensively the challenges of undue influence of councillors and political parties in the affairs of municipalities. It spoke extensively about having a local government system that is professionalized, an administration that is professionalized. It speaks extensively about minimum qualifications and competencies required if you want to be part of the administration in a municipality. Remember, Chair, there's a lot of noise that is being made that our rights are infringed upon. Well, it means every time we apply for a job, our rights are infringed upon, because for every job that you apply, there are minimum requirements. Whether it's qualifications, whether it's years of experience, does that now mean that our rights are being infringed upon? No. We need to create a set of requirements so that when we want to achieve the ultimate out of it, which is professionalism, we'll be able to attract the right people, would be able to do the jobs that are required. But a 10-year-old report confirmed that we had those problems. We unfortunately also have to remind ourselves that we had a local government turnaround strategy. Very good document, a very good program that was initiated. It stressed the very same challenges and it proposed solutions, and we are reminding members that that's what informed the Systems Amendment Act of 2011. But also, as Councillor Stoffel has indicated, all of those solutions that are being presented must unfortunately happen within the context of the constitutional provisions. And the constitutional provisions are fairly clear that municipalities have the right to govern on its own initiative its affairs. It's clear. There is a role defined for provincial government, there's a role defined for national government, and key amongst the roles that are defined for national and provincial government is to respect that constitutional right of municipalities to govern their own affairs.
and where it is necessary, provide the support, and where more so it is necessary, regulate the exercise of those functions of municipality. Regulate. Not step into and want to do it yourself. And Councillor Stoffler is saying he is curious about concurrency. I think every local government practitioner who is actively involved in the local government space asks this question. Other than in the upper limits notice, and we are quite clear about this, other than in the upper limits notice, if you have a councillor, if you've been a councillor, the honourable member says he was a councillor, one thing councillors know is a document called the upper limits notice. It's a very important document. It drives a lot of emotions because it's about the remuneration of councillors. Now, other than in that document where concurrency is specifically defined, we have not seen it anywhere else, particularly in the Systems Act, but we now see loosely the use of concurrency in a local government, at a local government level, and brings us to the challenges that we would want to raise, because we do have an act. It does present us with challenges, and we would want to highlight what those challenges are. So if you look at our presentation, Chair and Honourable Members, we would on each aspect highlight what the challenges are, present you with our comments on those challenges, and then later on we will make proposals on the actual attitude of SALGA or response of SALGA on the amendments that are being proposed in the bill before us. So the first one, when we deal with the appointment of MMs and acting MMs, the reality that we are faced with, Chair, and sometimes we don't think about this practically, what does it mean, is that once council has followed the process of recruitment and it gets to the step of council having to approve the actual appointment, meaning the candidate, once that happens in practice, the person is almost immediately employed. But remember, there's an outstanding step. An outstanding step is the municipality must advise, or in fact, the act says inform the MEC of the process that has been followed and the outcome. And there's a prescribed format for such. And then the act says that must happen within 14 days. So the worst case scenario is that a person, the municipality, informs the MEC on day 14, but you're actually sitting with a person who's been employed for 14 days, or 13 days, worst case scenario. Then the MEC is given an opportunity of another 14 days. The MEC could come back, having regard to the information sent by the municipality, and say, well, you have complied or you have not complied with the act. Now what happens is that 14-day period, in practice, it's good in law, but the 14-day period, we have seen that MECs are taking longer than 14 days to come back to municipalities. We have scenarios where it takes 3 months. 3 months, so a person has been appointed for 3 months, and now the MEC says, well, there's been no compliance. Your panel that interviewed, and by the way, as Councillor Stoffler is saying, COCTA is part of the panel. So we knew during the recruitment process that the panel is not properly composed, because COCTA is there, they should be able to know. But 4 months later, it is now said to a municipality, no, your problem is that your panel was not properly constituted, and therefore it is our view that you have not complied. So there's a person who has been employed, has an employment contract, and is sitting in a municipality, and now is being told, well, you are not appointed. There is one province where it's giving me the practical example, Chair, what is happening. There is one province where there is a municipal manager that is appointed, and the MEC is not recognizing that municipal manager, to the extent when that province reports on vacancies, it still says that municipality has a vacancy in the position of the municipal manager. That's a practical challenge we're having. There is almost non-recognition. So when you have an IGR structure and that municipal manager is in attendance, he's asked that please don't be, you can't form part of our IGR structure because in our view you've not been properly appointed. And that's the extreme of things that we find in practice because of the legislation that is before us. One, but two, how we are implementing this legislation on the ground. So it's a serious challenge that we are presented with. What are we saying about it, Chair, ourselves, is that we hold the view that our reading, certainly, of the current Systems Act and as it is proposed, the bill, is that there is no approval acquired from the MEC. There is only a request to inform the MEC, and all the MEC is required to do is to actually assess whether the municipality has followed the processes or not. If the MEC comes at a different conclusion to the council, the MEC, as the Act quite clearly states, has the liberty of approaching the courts and asking for a declaratory order to invalidate that decision of council. But instead, what do we see in practice? An MEC instructing a municipality, you must reverse your decision. And in most of our municipalities, it is not easy to reverse a decision. That is the reason why it's done. You must reverse your decision. So a one sphere of government instructs another sphere of government. We don't know how, but it happens in practice, and informed by what? You must change your decision. And it uses the party as well to place serious pressure on that council to reverse a decision. And sometimes it is nothing to do with the processes or the recruitment process or its outcome, is that the person that they wanted is not the person who was concluded on. Now the whole process must be restarted according to an MEC or according to the party. And in our view, that is not correct. And we are of the view that this act must be implemented as it is. And perhaps we must remind those that are holding these positions that there is no, in our reading, there's no approval required, and we are quite clear about that. We will make a proposal, Chair, as we conclude on how do we think this proposed amendment should be responded to. The second area relates to the appointment of managers accountable to municipal managers. We unfortunately, Chair, or perhaps fortunately, have the benefit that we have structured engagements on a regular basis with both councillors and officials, and at times separate. So we hear the political views on issues coming from the councillors. We hear the administrative views from officials coming from municipal managers or CFOs. So we are very well placed to hear the complaints on both sides. And for us, what comes out quite strongly is around the current process as per the Systems Amendment Act of 2011 around the appointment of managers reporting to the municipal manager. As the proposal stands and as it is in the Act, it is the council that appoints managers reporting to the municipal manager, but in consultation with the municipal manager. And our view, based on the feedback that we had received on both sides, is that it creates serious difficulties at the local government level. Why does it create difficulties? It's because these managers that are appointed by council feel that they do not report to a municipal manager. They report to council. So their direct supervisor is not kept in the loop on key areas that are happening in the municipality. However, that person is the head of the administration and is ultimately accountable for what happens or what does not happen in the administration, but is placed at a disadvantage that, I mean, some have even told us, we are told directly in our faces as the municipal managers, you only signed my contract, but you didn't appoint me. So I will report to those that have appointed me, and it creates serious challenges within the administration. And if we are talking about professionalizing the administration, we should allow the head of the administration to be the head of the administration. And part of that includes appointing managers that would report to him, so that he appoints people that will make him or her shine. He will appoint a person that will be able to do the work, but more importantly, that person will account to him or her, so that it does not create headaches that we have seen in practice. So we do have a proposal, Chair, which is a minor proposal around how we think this particular challenge should be addressed. The third area is around the limitation of political rights as it is proposed in the Act, but also finding expression in the bill. And Honorable Masondo reminds me, because the example he had given is in fact an example that came out of a study done by SALGA around the political administrative interface in municipalities. And I want to share with you, Chair, that the Systems Act of 2011, yes, there's a request to have it reprocessed, but it has brought serious benefits to the sector. Serious benefits to the sector. Key among them is this limitation of rights of MMs. Because we used to sit with a scenario where it is as confirmed by the study. And here's the example, Chair. A municipal manager comes to a council meeting and presents a report to council. So formal city of council is presenting a report. He is also the regional chairperson of the party in that municipality. And what happens is that during the discussions, it became fairly evident that council is not going to agree with the recommendations of the municipal manager. During the debate in council, what does the municipal manager do? This is a true story. Writes a note as he's sitting there during the debate, writes a note to the speaker, "Chief, convene a caucus." So what does the speaker do? He's given an instruction by the regional chairperson, not the municipal manager. The regional chairperson, "Can you convene a caucus?" So a caucus is convened. So the municipal manager walks out of the chamber and takes off the cap as municipal manager, puts on the cap as the regional chair, and goes into the caucus and instructs the caucus, "You will go back into that council meeting and you will agree with the recommendations as presented by the municipal manager," who is the same person. We are presenting a bad case scenario, but what we would want to present to the committee is that through the intervention of the 2011 Systems Amendment, which limits the rights of municipal managers, it doesn't limit their rights to be members of political parties. It just says that if you want to be a municipal manager, you can't hold political office, because we know what the impact is of holding political office to the running of a municipality and professionalizing the administration within municipalities. However, we have only seen that limitation placed on municipal managers and managers reporting to municipal managers. And when we listen to municipal managers as we speak, they're saying to us, "Well, you have limited us, but there are people that report to us that hold political office, and they are placing tremendous pressure on us." So it's junior people in the staff complement that are now instructing municipal managers and are instructing managers reporting to municipal managers, your portfolio heads, HODs in the municipality. So we are saying we probably have fixed half the problem and not the whole problem. And we have a suggestion what we would want to make around perhaps solving the problem in its entirety. It's not going to be a popular proposal, Chair, but we are not here to be popular. We are here to ensure that we give effect to the problem statement of the local government, the State of Local Government report of 2009 that says there is a problem. To resolve this problem, let's professionalize the administration in municipalities. The fourth area, Chair, relates to the employment contracts of both municipal managers and managers directly reporting to municipal managers. And my colleague, Tobogo, has touched on this issue. And it relates to what the Systems Act did in 2011 was to delete Section 57.7 of the Municipal Systems Act. Maybe let's remind ourselves what Section 57.7 said. This was also earlier raised by honourable member in the committee that Section 57.6 of the Systems Act says that a municipal manager's contract must be fixed term and it must be for a period of not more than 5 years, but it cannot go beyond a year of the term of office of a council, of a municipal council. It then goes further by saying that so firstly, it cannot be longer than 5 years, and secondly, it cannot go a year longer than the sitting council. What it then means is that it's a fixed term contract for a defined period and it's not a permanent appointment. So what the old Systems Act did, maybe I should not say old, but prior to 2011, it went further by stating that the council may also extend that provision of a fixed term arrangement to managers reporting to the municipal manager. It may. So council had the option to make it a fixed term employment contract for a defined period or make it permanent. So what the Systems Amendment Act in 2011 did, it deleted that discretion. So the may part of extending it to Section 57 managers was removed. But what it created was interpretation challenges, and we ourselves have been at the forefront of the interpretation challenges. We held the view that because there was no specific provision that said the municipality can't, it still allowed the discretion. So we have seen in practice that across different provinces, you in fact have some managers reporting to municipal managers appointed on a permanent basis and others appointed on a fixed term. In this province in particular, I know that most managers reporting to municipal managers, if you look at the advertisements, is a 10-year period. So it goes beyond the term of office of a single council. So it's a much longer term arrangement. I think because we have interpretation challenges, there's an opportunity now to create clarity, so that we don't have SALGA having one interpretation, COCTA having another interpretation, and municipalities a different interpretation. So there's an opportunity now to correct what has become an interpretation challenge across the implementation of that provision. So those are the areas of concern we have, Chair. And as Councillor Stoffia has said, we have only focused our inputs on the current proposed amendments. We have many other proposals we would want to make, but we will make it when there's the right time. Now is not the right time. So in conclusion, Chair, the slides, my apologies, I see your slides before you are not paginated, but from slide 8, which talks about SALGA's response to the proposed amendments, we are detailing our response on each of the amendments. So on the definitions, we fully support the definitions. On the appointment of MMs, which is clause 2, and acting MMs, we support the amendment, but we are saying within the context of the concerns that are being raised on time frames given to MECs to respond, maybe there is merit to say let's review those time frames. But we must be cognizant of the fact that a person is already appointed and is already working. So we can't have a very long time frame, because if there are challenges, we need to address it sooner rather than late. But certainly there may be scope to review those time frames, but we support the amendment as it is proposed. On clause 3, this is the clause where we are saying it's problematic that council appoints in consultation with the MM. We are supporting the amendment with a slight amendment. We are saying that it is the municipal manager that appoints managers reporting to him in consultation with council. So not the other way around, not council appointing in consultation with the municipal manager. It's the municipal manager appointing, and that will address the current challenge that we have within the sect. The same would apply for acting managers. So it is the municipal manager that should appoint an acting person, and it could be in consultation with council. But also the point that was raised by Gauteng, we would want to support the chair, the proposal raised by Gauteng, because we have experienced this in practice, that there is not, we can't wait for a council meeting to appoint an acting municipal manager or an acting manager reporting to a municipal manager. By the time council sits, the person was incapacitated for a week and they're already back in the office. But we had created a gap and a vacuum during that space. So we are proposing that we must specifically provide for a provision where such appointment could be done, could be either in terms of a delegations to a municipal manager, or alternatively where it relates to the municipal manager, delegated to the mayor to, in consultation with the municipal manager, appoint an acting person. But it's important that we can't wait until a council meeting. On clause 4, wholeheartedly supported. Clause 5, limitation on political rights, we wholeheartedly support it. We have seen the benefits in practice. Our tweaking of the proposal, Chair, and this is where we may get into trouble, is that we are saying perhaps this limitation must be extended if we are serious about professionalizing local government. Extend it to all staff within a municipality. So that there's no undue pressure on managers who have a limitation, but people reporting to them are the regional chairs or deputy chairs, and places them under undue pressure. So perhaps if we truly want to talk about a professional local government administration, it should be extended to all staff, whether permanent or temporary or in an acting capacity. On clause 6, the employment contracts, we support the proposed amendment. The only thing we are asking for is perhaps here's an opportunity. Can we just create certainty that it's either a discretion to fix term or permanently, or it's permanent? Perhaps here's an opportunity to create certainty where there has been interpretation challenges. Clause 7 up to clause 10, Chair, wholeheartedly supported. And that, Chair, concludes our presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thanks. And Honorable Stofil, you want to conclude?
No, thank you, Chair. We'll take questions, comments. And then.
Okay, thank you very much.
Honorable members invited to pose questions, if they are. Honorable Maclua, Honorable Shabalala, Ngwezi.
Thank you, Chair. I really want to say thank you for a very concise document. I will again really work through it. It's very fruitful and sound recommendations. I almost wanted to say, but with tongue in cheek, Salga has spoken, but I want one question. I don't know, 2001,
I'm really interested in that document. Was it called State of the Municipalities or State of... I would want that document. What is it called? I just want the answer on that question. Thanks. All from me.
Thanks, Chair. I think I really appreciate the presentation from SALGA. I've been to local government and I know for 21 years, I'm the longest serving council member, KwaMasipala. So this recommendation, I fully agree with them. 21 years. Sugela, we interim 1994, see appoint on October
1999.
Chairperson, I think I agree with the presentation. Thank you very much, Sanka. But there are two suggestions that I think I will not agree, but will engage as time goes on. The mayor, for example, is the one who, in practice, he becomes the chair of the panel that employs the MM, then sends that to council because it's a mayor who gives a report to the council, then the council appoints or agree on whatever terms of the outcomes of the interview. Then they sign the contract, you know, SDP, you see, it's the office of the mayor. Now, I say that there is a suggestion or a comment that in the event where the MM is not there for a short period because he's sick or has attended a study tour overseas or whatever for 7 days, now, the process of the appointment may not be the same. I agree on that one. But the mayor alone, I don't agree that he's the one who must actually, in consultation with the manager, appoint the one who's going to act. But I believe that EXCOM, because remember, the appointment part of it, council is consulted. So now the mayor can consult the acting, the municipal manager. But rather, I think the mayor as chairperson of EXCOM, in consultation with EXCOM, must appoint the acting municipal manager for that period. That one I will agree. Secondly, is the professionalization part of it, of the sphere of local government, to say that if I'm a member of the National Council of the IFP, I must be prohibited from becoming an employee of a municipality. I'll really tend to, not IFP per se, any political party, let me say that, so that Umangubana Nanumshengu is not looking at me seriously. because let us not treat local government as IEC, because it is only in the IEC where you are not allowed to be an activist. You know, if I see any presiding officer in a party regalia, and then I may take a photo and report, and that person will be removed. To that extent, my belief is that there is no one who is neutral, not unless this person is in Jehovah's Witnesses, because those ones are prohibited from becoming political active or even joining political parties. You know, with our own, you know, school of thought about how things should be on earth. No, I was once there and then I left because I realized. So, you know, so my thinking is that we'll try now and want to, you know, treat local government as the independent electoral commission. And there's no one who is, you know, except for that sector I spoke about. And those that may be, you know, individuals who are ignorant, you know. So it's just a comment, but that's why I said we'll engage one another going forward, you know. And I like almost 90% of your suggestions. And in the future, because it's a comment, in the future you must look at the remuneration of councillors. Honourable Member Shabalala says he has been a councillor for 21 years. I'm not making an example, and I hope she'll not feel offended. But if you can go and look at the contribution she has made in the Etowine Metro, developing, you know, giving development to communities, you know, somewhere removing, you know, stones to put housing for people and all that, and then you look at what she has as an individual. When she left in 2016, she didn't even have medical aid, not unless she would have saved for herself. But she has been in this sector for 21 years. It's a sector, really, that I think on that part of taking care of, you know, councillors, it's still neglected. So I'm just, you know, saying, think about that. This committee, I think, Honorable Chairperson, will be ready to engage even when we are no longer here. We'll make submissions, not because we have suffered on this, but we are preparing for others who may come after us to say it must be looked at. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you. Just two comments. Maybe on this non-recognition problem. No, the non-recognition problem of that relates to councillors. Extend way beyond what has been mentioned here. Just to give one example, if you come to Parliament from being a mayor of a municipality or something, Parliament does not recognize you as having served. In other words, you are treated the same way as everybody else who comes to Parliament the first time. Where is in the administration? No, but
is that true, Brian?
That's true. That's true. In every respect. So apart from what you've spoken about, let's just come to Parliament now for the first time, after serving for 20 years, there's a clear non-recognition of the 20 years she served in local government. That's how the system works here. But just to make two comments. The first one is the word consultation. So I agree with what Sarah has presented. But consultation means just that. Consultation does not mean you talk and talk until you agree. It means we have been informed. I'm just raising it because it can cause a lot of confusion if not understood properly. The other one is the holding of political office. My understanding is that this holding of political office is not the same as a member of a political party. Just to clarify that.
Okay. Perhaps I'll answer the easy ones, Chair. The first one is that it's called the COCTA State of Local Government Report 2009. It largely informed the local government turnaround strategy. And I'm sure colleagues from COCTA could make it available to the committee. Very, very good report. The second point, Chair, is that I think we must also remind those that have been in the system for too long, and they will remind us that in 1994, the salary of a councillor was 400 rand.
Yeah.
And I'm told, Honourable Masondo, it came in an envelope in your agenda pack for council meetings. It's not even in a bank. It's not even enough for a bank account. It will take too much bank charges. 400 rand in an envelope in your agenda pack. There is not sufficient progress. We have moved 20 years later. It is now 20,000 rand minimum per month per council. So there has been a move. It is not enough. And we have been before this committee also crying about benefits. COCTA knows our story. Crying because every single platform we have as an association, councillors stand up and they raise concerns around their benefits, and in particular not being recognized as public office bearers, but ultimately responsible for everything. When there's a protest, it's a council that is at the forefront of responding to the issues that are being raised. And it's within that context that they feel that there's not sufficient recognition. Indeed, we think that our proposal, as serious as it may sound, particularly because of how people will respond to it, because they would see the impact on themselves, which says let's extend this limitation to all staff. It is not saying, well, what you're saying is that you have the right to be a member of a party, but you can't be a office bearer of that party and work at the municipality. That is what we are saying. And on the proposals made around the panel, well, the appointment of the municipal manager or the professionalization, I think it's areas we can have a conversation around, Chair. But I think the point that we are making is that let's address the challenge we have, and the current challenge is that we can't wait for a council meeting to appoint an acting person when the person is sick for 2 days. Thanks, Chair.
I think, Chair, generally we have got an agreement, but I think my learned friend will, in the conversation, we must factor the issue that in the private business you appoint a board, and the board, it is responsibility to appoint a management. And the theory around that is that the management must be accountable to a single line of communication. In the current environment is that managers in the municipalities, their line of coordination according to them and accountability become a council. Now, how do I bundle that? Generally, in the general practice of management is that you always have a solid line of accountability and dotted line of accountability. And what is missing in the system is the dotted line of accountability. And that is what we are saying as association, is important that you create that dotted line of accountability so that there is no confusion in terms of who is accountable to who and how, and many other things and so on. Now, unfortunately, it demoralized and create collapsed systems in the municipality, and therefore we are saying institute proper management systems of accountability so that the accountability is very clear and clearly defined. I think that is the issue that we are raising, and that is why we are saying delegated responsibility, it's an important matter. And remember, in local government, you still in South Africa, you have three type of local government. You've got plenary type, you've got collective type, you've got executive type. Now, in whatever that you do in law, you must be considerate of such system. And therefore, we are saying remove the burden to council and locate it into an office that it is going to make a follow-up on those issues. I think that is the issue. We are free and open for exchanging views and discussions. On the issue of councillors, I think I nearly said Councillor Lambs. Fortunately, in this house, you've got about members who have been served in council. You've got this man seated on my right. He has been in council, he has been in municipality in terms of administration, and therefore conversation, it's different at the time when Baroma Solo, a councillor and honorable, because at the time you were dealing with a situation where individuals has no appreciation of what is a council and what its role in society. Now today, at least you've got people that you have a conversation that understand the difficulties and the limitations in local government sector. So I think that is what it made us to be very closely and working together with COGTA. Yes, we disagree on many things. We are bound to disagree, not to see things in the same way. But in many things, we do agree. Insofar as that is concerned, you are supposed not to be recognized as a councillor because a councillor is nobody. Okay, in the eyes of many public people, they don't see council; they see an insignificant individual. But it goes with politics and many other things, as I've said earlier on. I think Lance has answered. Have answered that. I think let me put my voice on this because Lance has no authority to speak on politics. He has the authority to speak on really administrative matters. The challenge, President, that we're seeing in the local state is that I will be employed as a general cleaner, and I'm a chairperson of my NGO. And a mayor is nobody in the establishment of my NGO. Now, when there is something, I'm talking about real things that are happening in life today. When I want my salary increment to increase, I use my role and force the mayor to agree on paying ex gratia payment. Okay. That's reality that is happening in our society. Now, what we are attempting to support as SALGA is that if Stofile employed by a municipality as a general cleaner, or Stofile should be employed like any other person to be employed, but let us limit our political influence in influencing a decisions of council, because you force council to take an illegal decision. That's what you are saying. And that is why as an association we believe it was a benefit ripped for a very small lifespan, but it's something that we need to consider. In fact, what we are saying in an association, let us try by all means to professionalize the sector, depoliticize the sector. That's what we are saying as an association, so that we are able to render service to people irrespective of their political party. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chairperson. Honorable members, local government, as they say, is everybody's business. We are working together with SALGA and all other role players to see to it that we do what is best for the sector. and we professionalize local government. We are working very hard. We've already engaged what we call the Independent Commission for the Remuneration of Public Office Bearers, headed by Judge Musi, to see to it that the recommendations that they make should be similar in all the public office bearers, so that there should not be some disjuncture and a problem in relation to benefits, because local government is the cold face of service delivery. Whenever something happens, the people to get the brand first is local government. We are working with them, we are working with FALCA, with provinces to see to it that we make this sector, and also in relation to the administration, the first choice for everyone to get into the employment phase. We have done where there were differences between ourselves and FALCA, we have managed to narrow that. So our minds are at idem in relation to some of the things that we think should be done in the sector. And we appreciate the close collaboration that we have with FALCA. In as far as provinces are concerned, we are having a committee that is established, headed by myself, that sees to it for the review of policies in local government. And that's valuable information that we're receiving from provinces, because they're working nearer to FALCA in particular and municipalities. And this partnership, I think, will assist us to see to it that we take through this amendment, and also that is the 2011 amendments, and also to see to it that we look thoroughly into the system sector itself, so that we amend, not for the sake of amendment. You see, like Councillor Stofile has indicated, sometimes we might not be in a position to can regulate human behavior. You can put legislation in place, but once human element comes into the picture, it becomes difficult. And also Parliament might not be entertaining itself in regularizing party political conduct when it comes to the administration of municipalities. Lastly, as a report back, we were given instructions by Parliament to approach the Constitutional Court. We have met with the legal team of Parliament and ourselves. Time is running against us. I've just read messages now where we have appointed counsel, two senior counsel, to take the matter up. Our request was that to counsel that we need to file our papers between today and Friday, so that we get enough time. So we are pushing very hard that this should happen. Banele is in our legal services. We are in contact with them so that we do that. After this meeting, I'm also informing the minister, who has received a request from the leader of government business, who is the deputy president, who has a keen interest in the this particular legislation to be passed through. And we hope that with the help of Parliament, and also with the engagement that we have this week, we'll be able to demonstrate to the Constitutional Court that we intend to honor the court order is granted by them, and to request the 12-month period for its extension. So we will keep the chairperson abreast with the development in relation to the actual date when the hearing will be set. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I don't want to pour sour water on this whole thing, but just out of interest sake, it took us 2 years to date, and it is actually shameful. We should actually bow our head in shame for such an important issue. But just a comment. But the crux of my question, has anything been done, or what are we going to do towards our own legal team for tagging for having the wrong tag on this? Because I mean, we are paying people, they are big guns that we trust them in this organization, and now we must face the music out there. If tomorrow they want to have answers, they're going to call the chairperson of this committee and ask questions. So I think, I don't want us to shift the blame, but someone must take responsibility for this wrong tag. Someone must take responsibility for not advising you as a chairperson, because this is egg on your face, or rather our face when it comes to this. Really, it's really unfortunate.
Okay. No, I think the court will assist. And I think if you are not, of course, adjourning for elections, we're going to finalize the bill. It's just the date is the 8th of May next week, possible. Whatever you can do from today until the 8th of May is absolutely impossible to do anything now, let alone the 20th of March. And I think we have hope that the team there, Mr. Shapin, you're going to work with your team as you're doing already. They will advise us accordingly. If the court doesn't agree with you, then it's a separate issue. But the court won't be unreasonable, because we are meeting here as members of parliament. We are serious about this matter. And McClure at the time was deployed somewhere to cause problem for Supra. Now he's back. He wants to cause problem for all of us now here. Now, of course, we have discussed this matter that you are raising, Honorable McClure. We are very concerned, all of us, really. It took us a little bit a long time to do this. And then there will always be confusion between the department, parliament, who should really draft this and present it. Little bit, and these are legal minds, and they're very difficult to agree with anyone. Mr. Shuping is also a lawyer. Né? And then a lawyer plus lawyer plus lawyer. They're showing it like a clean day one. And then who is no may no shall becomes a big issue for days. And then they delay this. Unfortunately, all of us now, we have to address this situation. But I think we have worked very well with the department and parliament on this matter. And I think they are doing that thing coordinatedly. And I think we'll resolve the problem. If the court, of course, says finalize it now before May, general, I think the parties will agree to allow their members to come here and work, and but we won't call parliament. It's dissolved. And therefore, whatever you do now, parliament is dissolved. But doesn't mean that it can't pass a law. And then we can still work it out. Depending, really, the court may be very angry with us. Depending who that, if it's Chief Justice, will be extremely angry with us, because he has been taking a view that we undermine the judiciary, generally speaking. They make many decisions, departments simply ignore them, and I'm not sure why department ignore the Constitutional Court anyway. I think it can be very hard on us. Those who know us anyway will know this. He drafted a rule anyway on the what we call motion of no confidence. Then we went to him and said, "Now we are trying our level best. We are very good, Chief Justice." And then he drafted the rule. The rule that is drafted, in fact, is much more problematic now than before. But that's a problem when the court then have to decide how to write things for members of parliament. And then I think that's what we experience, but we can't do anything, we can't appeal, we can't, then must implement it as it is. Any member can stand up in the chamber and say, motion of no confidence tomorrow. You can't reject it now. That's a bigger issue that we'll face, and I think let us work it out. The department, SALCA is here, work it out. But I think the most important thing is for us to work together for the amendment, a very comprehensive amendment of the Systems Act. And because I think already we are agreeing on many issues, I think it would be very easy to comprehensively amend it and ensure that then it assists those who are deployed at the local government level. I think we should do that. And then the court will decide, and we'll follow what the court says. That would be fine, and I think the Western Cape would make a good input, SALCA input is here. And then continue again refining this input. And then I think Chief Director is also saying already that a lot of input as a team that we have set up to coordinate all these input as a department. ensure that those team will also make themselves available to members of parliament at a certain point that we have a discussion. One report that we have not finalized, of course, I think we have to finalize all our minutes. We have to adopt all our minutes. We can't have minutes that are for next parliament. All must be adopted, be closed. And we have not dealt with the issue of the religious sector and concluded their report. We accepted as a committee, never been presented to the chamber because of the problems. Now, they have agreed now with the members of portfolio committee that it is not the state that should regulate religion, but a peer review mechanism should assist them to do so. They agree now on that. It's just that late now to address the vast situation where some fraud really is happening there. And then that emancipa is somewhere there sleeping. And then now it's right from the desk. And then it's fraud in general. And then, because fraud is not only money, stealing money, but it's fraud in the way I think things are happening. The conference that is sitting in Joburg on these matters, a little bit harsh, that the parliament should have done this thing long time ago. And then, in fact, when there was no agreement between us and the team. And then one way or another, we may be forced to finalize this thing in the chamber before before we go after the 20th. The report is ready anyway. And what is left is just for us to relook at it if we have to do so, depending what is the outcome of the consultative meeting, because we said they must have this conference. They've convened a conference. The conference is almost agreeing with what we said they should do. And then there will be no problem then to, again, rework on this thing. And it may really assist us a lot, because I think there's a problem about this religion problem. Mark, you, I know that you are very religious, but there's a problem with the religion. And we must address it one way or another. And the lobby is there also against leaving regulation. But at a certain point, I think the conference will come with some resolution. We have to consider those resolutions and try to tighten it up. Even if it's not this team that finalizes it, but the coming team, one of the handover, main point will be about finalization of this matter. I think it's just causing havoc everywhere. And I just don't know, and Stofield, because when at least we are not an atheist now. I think we are in between. But the point really, I'm not sure why you are so gullible, that every person comes here, suddenly the big priest, and then he can assist us not to die. It's a very strange situation, really. And then, because if the most learned in society, Musa Shupi, now we are Alaba, is a bigger problem. It's really a big problem, because one way or another, the learned should assist us, man. They can't be so gullible. And then ended up with a problem that we had. And of course we had problem with the Bush here in terms of the organizational issues and some of that. But it's a bigger problem, how we allow this thing to happen. Then suddenly a person is got to be arrested there, poor people are defending this person, and it's a very clumsy situation, as if government is persecuting religion when the individual who are causing havoc. It may happen that anyway, miracle can happen, the man was dead. And then it comes out there, and then it's possible. South Africans believe in miracles. Maybe it's one of the miracles that has happened in the Vaal. And then no one shall die now, at least we'll go there. They are inserted. No, I think it's something that we must work it out. I think the team that deals with the religious affairs We have to finalize that in a serious manner. And then because more and more vulnerable people are being exploited. And then I think we have to work it out. And then if there's need to do that, then the meeting will be convened just to do that report and finalize it. I think there's always now a push that we must finalize this becoming a problem. And then in Botswana and other areas, the regulation will just go there without being registered. Hence, Bushiri couldn't go there and deregister you within a second, go back home, go there. But what Tobela here, they wake up early in the morning at 7 to 7, say Sondwe. Ingana zidle kaya, mkwenyana kana kudle kaya. How is this thing going to work? Mkwenyana kudle kaya, mako to save Sondwe forever. For Holy Spirit. Now, colleagues, I think the meeting was very helpful for us. And then I think now we are almost agreeing how what should be done. And then possible, either, depending on what the court says, we have to finalize the details of what we want to propose as substantive amendment to the Systems Act. I think it's important, there's experience now. I think we can make government work on that. But I think we should all be committed to have a professional local state. Just a professional local state. The state must not become a looting state because it's a big problem. And there should be a state really that assists us to address the problem of our people. We are not very poor not to address the problem. It's just we are not having professional administration. Who can resist in that emancipation if a chairperson of DA and simply come in their plans and say, you shall do this, even if it is illegal. And then I think that's what we are trying to do. I think there's agreement on that. And then thank you for your contribution, colleagues, and thank you, Salka, Tobel, and the department. Thank you, members. We can adjourn our meeting. And then we can see then what you want to do.